You're listening to Mind Over Motherhood.
Welcome to the Mind Over Motherhood podcast, your new favorite show for all things mindset, motherhood, and mental health. I'm your host, Dr. Curly Crew, a mom of twin girls, modern-day nomad, and MD psychotherapist specializing in women's mental health. I believe that life is full of challenges that can hold you back from being the best version of yourself and living your most incredible life. Your mind shouldn't be one of those things. So listen in each week as I share practical tips and expert strategies to help you manage your mindset, improve your mental health, and be the woman and mother you've always known you could be. So grab a cup of something delicious and let's dive in.
I am so excited to host Dr. Robin Tiger on this podcast episode of Mind Over Motherhood. Dr. Robin Tiger is on a mission to empower others with self-care tools backed by science and research. With burnout on the rise, Robin knows firsthand what it's like to love your job while also coping with stress, anxiety, overwhelm, imbalance, and even illness. Robin uniquely combines her 15 years in radiology with a certification in yoga therapy, meditation, and life coaching in her innovative courses, private coaching, and podcast that focus on complete physical, mental, and emotional well-being and resilience. Robin is deeply passionate about helping others relieve stress, elevate calm, and live their best lives. Robin, I'm so, so excited to have you. Thank you so much for being on Mind Over Motherhood.
I am so excited to be here. I am a huge fan of your podcast, so this is amazing for me to be here with you today.
Oh, thank you. Well, we're mutual fans of each other because Robin and I connected through a physician entrepreneur group. I was looking for fantastic, incredible guests to have on Mind Over Motherhood to bring such valuable insights to my audience. And we connected and had a lot of similarities in the vein of, you know, speaking about self-care and wellness. And obviously those are big topics for me on my podcast and in my own mission. So I'm excited to have Robin on the podcast today. We're going to talk a little bit about burnout, which I think is a topic that's very relevant to today and what many of my listeners could probably resonate with, or perhaps you're even wondering what defines burnout specifically and whether you are burned out, because I think many of us, I don't know what you're seeing, Robin, but I think many of us are feeling just this kind of chronic level of fatigue, you know, on the somewhat tail of the pandemic. I can't say that it's actually over yet, but, you know, and coming out of all of the changes that brought with it, what is burnout? So I know that's part of your story, Robin. So I'd love for you to kind of let us in on your world a little bit. Tell us where you started this journey and how you've come to where you are.
Yeah. So I started burned out. I was essentially, you know, at rock bottom about maybe like 15-ish years ago. I was a physician, still am, but a doctor. I had two little kids, you know, I'm a mom, a wife, got the dog, the house. I was involved in the community, the kids' schools. I was on the board of everything, right? And it was just incredible what was going on, in the sense that I started to get really sick. I didn't understand what was going on. Like, little by little, I developed these illnesses. So I couldn't really put it all together initially. But I developed things like migraine headaches. I'd never in my life had a migraine headache. They were debilitating. Like, I would have to just remove myself and go into a dark room. I was having, you know, this horrible vomiting with it. It delayed my our trip a couple of times. I had to like move our flights because of it. It was very, very awful. I developed this vertigo where I'd be in the grocery store and someone's like, "Hey, Robin," and I turn my head and everything be spinning. I mean, just couldn't even move my head hardly without totally spinning around. And things like tinnitus, right? That's ringing in my ears. It got so bad that I couldn't sleep at night. Like, I was just totally like exhausted, and I had really bad reflux, you know, burning chest pain. I couldn't digest a thing. Everything I ate, my belly would hurt. I had diarrhea, constipation, and my whole body hurt. Like, you know, like the Wizard of Oz, the Tin Man. Well, I'd wake up every day and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like I just cannot move. Like, my neck, my shoulders, and my back felt like somebody ran over me with a truck. And the really scary thing happened Carly, was that I developed these paresthesias, right? These paresthesias where it means that I develop numbness and tingling in my hands and my feet and the left side of my back. And, you know, my doctor brain was like, oh my gosh, you have a debilitating neurologic disease, right? Because like, why else would this happen, right? We think the worst, right? And it was scary. I mean, I couldn't do things like button a shirt sometimes or lift something up. Or when I'm in a biopsy, I was, you know, biopsying a breast, for example, something that I did routinely in radiology, and I wouldn't be able to feel my hands to actually do that procedure. I'd have to wait until this feeling passed or lack of feeling passed. So it was scary, scary, scary. And I went to see a lot of doctors, you know, gastroenterologist, periodontist, because I also have bleeding gums. I went to see a neurologist, my internist, of course, you know, on and on. I had lots of imaging studies. I'm a radiologist. So of course I hopped in the magnet, MRIs, CAT scans, x-rays, ultrasounds, you name it, all negative. Took a lot of pills. Everybody I saw put me on a pill. And I went to a mental health care professional because I started to have really horrible thoughts in my brain. Like, oh my God, like, I don't even want to be here. Like, this is just awful. Like, if I have to wake up one more day and feel like this, I just don't want to. And that was terrifying, right? Like, those thoughts are so incredibly scary because I love my family. I've got two amazing kids and a husband, and, you know, all these things on the outside looked awesome, but on the inside, not so good. And so that was my bottom, right? And I had three physician colleagues at this point that had died from suicide. And so I basically was saying to myself, okay, girl, like, you are going in that direction. So you've got a choice. You can stay that path, or you can try and figure it out, because whatever's going on with you, like, traditional medicine is not helping. And so that was the beginning. That was the very beginning. As you said, like, tell us about your burnout. Well, that was the bottom. And so I said, all right, you got to figure it out.
What a story. Holy smokes. I think that that really pulls back the curtain on specifically the physical symptoms, which is what you shared with us at first, of burnout, and actually really paints the picture of the systems of the body literally burning out. Like, that there's nothing left in them. That's why your body aches and your digestive system, right? And everything just simply can't do what it's doing anymore. And it really, really paints that picture really vividly. And over how long of a course of time did these symptoms develop for you? Was this over like a year or over 3 months? Or what was the time course that this developed?
So it's interesting when I look back, because you don't see things as they're happening over time. And you're so busy being a mom and a doctor and a wife and doing all the things for everybody else. I didn't really realize that this was cumulative, that there were things just building on one another. And when I think back, I remember in residency starting to get those spots in my eyes when I was reading films. We had actual films then, they weren't on the computer, and being in the reading room with all the light boxes and having to remove myself because I started to feel really this pounding in my head. And then later on, the migraines got worse, and that's when the vomiting came along. If anyone has migraines, they know sometimes associated with the vomiting. So when I look back, the symptoms that I'm remembering actually began in residency.
So there was quite a long time course. And I think the other thing that that is important to draw to the forefront in this conversation is that listeners, like my listeners predominantly, are non-physicians, but many of them are probably listening to your story and thinking through their own bodies and their own lives and being like, wow, I can experience, or I can relate to some of that. And the thing that I want everybody to know here is that it's not just physicians that burn out. And in fact, also on the flip side, physicians also burn out, right? Because sometimes I've heard from patients of mine, like, right, well, the doctors have it all figured out. Like, they know all the reasons to keep things from happening to you that are bad. And I think what your story shows is that we are humans just like everyone else. And in fact, we're potentially more prone to burnout depending on our specialty and our lifestyle. but that we also can be just as blindsided by the symptoms of these different conditions, right? Like I have shared often how I was completely blindsided by my postpartum mood disorder, that I was a mental health professional. You know, I loved mental health and I had all this training and I still missed a lot of the symptoms in myself until it was really, really bad, right? Till I was at my rock bottom. And so more so a message of support, I suppose, that if somebody's listening to this and being like, holy smokes, how did I miss all of this? Like, you know, we all do that. We all miss these things in ourselves. And sometimes we even put a bit of blinders on because it's scary to start to feel some of these symptoms or to experience these things. We don't want to have anything wrong with us. So just so many things in your story, I think, that can be so healing for other people to hear. So once you kind of got to that rock bottom, what led you to understand or realize that this was burnout? And then what were some of the steps you took to start to heal yourself?
Yeah, so I didn't actually know that it was burnout. I saw this collection of illnesses and no physician could make a diagnosis for me. Like every physician I went to thought that I had a problem with their particular system in my body. The GI doc thought I had a GI issue and the neurologist thought I had a neurology issue and the periodontist thought I had a dental issue. And so you can see how there were these compartmentalization, this individual segments of what was going on with me. And I thought like that too. Right? Because I wasn't putting any of it together. But what I realized was that nobody was figuring it out, right? No one knew it was wrong. And I just decided to open my mind to other things. And I was already a gym rat. I was already working out a ton. I was already eating really healthy. You know, I keep a predominantly plant-based diet. And it wasn't nutrition and it wasn't exercise, right? So what else was out there? And I had heard and seen over and over again, more and more about yoga and meditation at the time. And I have to tell you, I was like, yeah, no, thanks.
Like, that's, I know. I feel like weird. That was my response no. At first to yoga and meditation. I'm like, yeah, no, right, I don't have time for that.
Yeah. I don't have time for it. Those people are weird. They're wearing spandex and listening to weird music and saying weird languages and twisting it upside down and whatever their bodies. And I'm a radiologist. So like, I don't think they should be doing that, or they couldn't actually be doing what I think they're doing because anatomically it didn't make sense. So, you know, I thought they were weird. I'd be on the treadmill and I'd be training for my next race. And I'd be looking at those people down the hall thinking they're totally strange, right? And it was really more of just lack of education. Because I kept hearing more and more about it. Now we hear a lot about it, but a decade and a half ago, you know, 2 decades ago, we weren't really hearing it in the media so much. But I saw this like Yoga 101 5-week series that was being offered at a studio near my house. And I kept seeing it and I kept throwing out the paper. And I'd see it and I'd throw out the paper. And then one day I saw it and, you know, I said to my neighbor who's a nurse, I said, hey, what do you want to check this out with me? You know, you want to go with me to this thing? And I said, it looks really casual. It looks like they said you can ask questions. It's not real serious. And she's like, pay me the eye roll, you know. She rolled her eyes. And then, I mean, I always roll my eyes too. But I said, look, you know what? If it's terrible, if it sucks, you know, I'll take you out to dinner, right? We'll just go out, us girls. We're getting out of the house anyway. And she's like, all right, sure, I'll go with you. So we went. And I went with my tail between my legs. And I was kind of like, I don't know about this place. And okay, so I was wrong, completely wrong, totally wrong. All my preconceived notions, wrong. After the very first session, I finished one session and I was like, okay, what happened? I'm feeling pretty amazing right now. I'm feeling really calm. I worked an incredibly hard day. I'd gotten my kids off to school. And I worked a really long day and I came home and I did the mom stuff. And then I left to go to this thing and I should be really tired. And I am awake and I am clear and I am calm. And I'm like, whoa, like what happened? You know, like I haven't felt like this and I don't even know ever. So that was my introduction into, okay, nothing else is working. What just happened? What just happened? Mm-hmm. And so my doctor brain, like your doctor brain, starts to think about it, right? And so I needed to unpack the physiology. And that was the beginning of my understanding that my physiology was totally disrupted. I know you've done episodes talking about the autonomic nervous system and the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous systems. And this is what I found was going on, mm-hmm. was that I was chronically stressed. Mm-hmm. That everyone missed this diagnosis that I was just chronically stressed. I didn't have a neurologic disease. I didn't have a gastrointestinal issue. I didn't have, you know, a dental problem other than my body just reacting to the stress in my life, causing all of those things.
Do you dream of becoming a more empowered, self-confident version of yourself as a mother? Do you wish that you could release the frantic, scattered energy that you feel throughout the day and embrace more flow, more self-trust, and more ease in your life as a woman and a mother? I'm on a mission to empower women who raise and empower the next generation of humans on this earth. And I'm starting by offering a brand new, transformative live group coaching experience in January 2022. Matriarch will be a 3-week immersion where you will learn how to embody the most powerful, most confident feminine leader of your family. The matriarch doesn't force or coerce. She leads and guides her family by leading herself first. From emotional mastery to embodied self-worth, sovereign communication, and the creation of empowered energetic boundaries, the matriarch will be a journey unlike any other, where we will tap into and activate parts of you that have been buried under the chaos of life and motherhood. Join me in this live container by heading to curlycrew.com/matriarch. Pricing goes up on December 1st, and the program will run in January for its inaugural round. If this is activating you, take the leap. Do what your heart desires and join me in Matriarch. You'll never know who she is until you activate her.
So important to have that conversation.
Yeah.
And like you said, it kind of piggybacks off of a conversation I just had with Dr. Mallory Craycroft a couple episodes before yours. And we talked about this. And I don't know, Robin, I feel like it's almost like moving into this new era of medicine and in the wellness, health and wellness area of this deeper understanding of this mind-body connection. And I know, and I'm sure maybe you have experience with that too, of how I know so many women. I can think back to like 30 women in my head that came to me in my family practice office with a myriad of physical symptoms. And of course, we do what our doctor brains are supposed to do, which is investigate the physical symptoms in the only way we know how, which is like with lab tests and that sorts of things. And I, like you in a different way, but had this realization of like, wait a minute, these sorts of constellations of symptoms are more signs of this nervous system chronic activation rather than a specific system. But our medical system, like you alluded to, is so fragmented. And I remember feeling like that. That's why I went into family practice in the beginning, is because there's no way you can take the parts of the body out and act like they're independent of each other, right? Like what happens in one area of your body will happen in another area or impact another area, right? And thankfully, there's all these practitioners and different types of schools of healing outside of the traditional medical paradigm that looks at the body more holistically. And I hope it's my mission as well to try to address things more holistically in regular, you know, traditional medicine as well. I think we really need to start doing that. We need to stop breaking the body up in its, you know, component parts, like they don't interact, because they do, right? And that's, I think, what happens with so many patients. What I wanted to highlight too about your story is so many patients go from specialist to specialist to specialist. And it's not that those doctors are bad doctors. It's just that unless you have someone who has the idea to look at the whole piece, the whole thing, the whole body, including the mind and how it's all interacting, you'll miss it. It's like you can't see the forest because you're stuck in the trees. It's exactly that. Like it's the perfect analogy for that. And so I love this. I love this conversation. I love that this is being discussed more often, the impact of stress on the body, because it is so, so relevant. And the outcome of patients being kind of passed along, your tests are normal, not sure, that's very damaging to patients, right? It's very damaging to their self-esteem, their feeling of, are my symptoms real? Am I making this up? Right? All that sort of stuff. When really, I think that we're moving into this era where we're going to be able to tell patients, like, no, all your symptoms are real. And they're because of your nervous system burning out because of chronic stress.
Yeah. It makes you crazy. Like you think you're crazy because nothing's coming up. And I love how you just described all that. You know, I love the segmented. That's such a great word. That's exactly how I felt. You know, it's like medicine is segmented, mm-hmm. but nobody's seeing the bridges. right? We're missing the bridges, or the one bridge, which is the umbrella of chronic stress.
Yeah.
And I know this to be true because as I continued going to these classes and as I got into some meditation and as I got into even more education, which we can get into, all of my symptoms went away.
Amazing.
All of them. Incredible. Even the numbness in my hands, even the dark thoughts in my brain, every single one went away without medicine, without pills, you know, so the body is powerful.
And maybe we can talk a little bit about that, Robin, because you'd be an expert at that as well, in that, you know, what is happening then? Because I can hear some of my listeners saying like, are you kidding me? You're telling me yoga is going to heal all these things. I think maybe if we broke down, like what's actually happening on a physiological level, right? That is causing yoga and these traditional healing practices like breath work. What is causing these practices to have such a profound impact on our bodies? Because I think understanding is motivation, right? We can, once we understand how something happens, I know for myself, that's partly why I mentioned to you before that I was looking into doing yoga therapy and maybe taking some training for that, because I see the connection between the sympathetic and the parasympathetic nervous system and yoga and how helpful that could be in a therapeutic setting, right? With my clients. So maybe you could break that down for us a little bit about what happens when we do these sorts of practices and why are they so impactful for our bodies?
Yeah. So, and you mentioning yoga and yoga therapy, so just so our listeners understand, to become a yoga teacher, that's 200 hours of training. And a yoga, people who show up in a yoga class are doing what the teacher has planned, right? Independent of what's going on with you. And yoga teachers are amazing. I mean, I started out as a yoga teacher, nothing wrong with it. But as a doctor, when I learned about the field of yoga therapy, I wanted to dive deeper into studies, because in yoga therapy, we take the concepts of yoga that we learned in the base level of training, and we can apply them to help individuals who have specific symptoms, illnesses, and diseases. And so we just understand it more deeply. And yoga therapy requires 1,000 hours of training over a 3-year period, and then additional training if you would like in specific areas that interest you. Like for me, trauma was very important, you know, working with people with cancer, working with military veterans, and so on. So I received additional training to, again, help myself and help others even more deeply. Just so anyone listening say, why are they saying yoga therapy? What does that mean? I just want to explain what that is. And then to go into the physiology, well, I know you've had some episodes talking deeply about the nervous system, the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system. So if anyone hasn't listened to those episodes, go back and listen, so you'll have a much more deeper explanation of that. But when we move our bodies in a certain way, and when we breathe in a certain way, it actually has to do with the physiology of our body. And we can tap into our parasympathetic nervous system and crank down our sympathetic nervous system so we can feel better. And we do that because of the physiology, for example, of breath. So in very simple terms, our breath can do many things. It can calm us down. It can heat us up. It can cool us off, and it can wake us up. And so for our purpose, we're talking about calming down. When you inhale, your heart rate increases. It's stimulating. When you exhale, your heart rate decreases. It's calming. So just by simply changing the ratio of your breath, by lengthening your exhale, you can decrease your heart rate and you can feel calmer. With respect to your breath, the location of your breath is important. So when you breathe into your chest, that stressful breathing, that sympathetic nervous system turned on. When you breathe more deeply into your abdomen, you are stimulating the vagus nerve. That's a very important cranial nerve that comes from your brain that is part of the parasympathetic nervous system. So breathing into your belly, for example, is calming. So when you take those two physiologic points of your breath, lengthening your exhale and breathing deeper into your body, you are using your physiology to calm yourself down. So one piece of yoga therapy, there's many facets, is working with your breath in a way to get you the result that you want. For here, we're talking about being calm. That's one example.
I love the, how you described that very eloquently and so simply. And just as a quick reminder for anybody listening, sympathetic nervous system is our fight or flight activation system, mm-hmm. right? It's our stress response, basically, like in a simple way. And then your parasympathetic is your rest and digest. And so that's what Robin's speaking about is that we can turn on or harness the power of our calm down system, our own innate calm down system, using our breath and using these simple strategies. And now this is the thing about breath work or breathing work that I find patients sometimes or women misconstrue or misinterpret is that the breathing doesn't just calm you down while you're doing it. That's a really important piece, right? Is that if you get in a practice of doing, you know, some therapeutic breath work on a regular basis, those effects of the calmness can last longer and longer throughout the day. And I can speak to that from personal experience. I have done breath work in the past, and almost every single time it's like this beautiful feeling of like serenity after that persists much into the rest of the day. And it sounds like a little bit hokey, like many people listening are like, I don't know, that sounds a little like the yoga thing, like how people felt about yoga, mm-hmm. but it truly is something to be experienced. Sometimes this sort of work, this breathing practices and breath work, can be very off-putting for patients. Do you find that mm-hmm. ever, like that it's very uncomfortable? I had recommended one of my clients get in touch with a breath work practitioner who I knew of, and she tried one of her kind of sample sessions and found it extremely noxious. And do mm-hmm. you see that ever with breath work in clients?
Yeah, well, I personally have experienced some very noxious breath work. So when I keep things very simple, like I just described, mm-hmm. And I teach it in that way, it's very accessible. So just like anything, you can work out in a certain way where it's extreme. Mm-hmm. And you see people at the gym doing things, you're like, I'm not doing that. And that wouldn't feel good for me. Or you can do things that feel good for you. So with me, the intention is always coming back to those two physiologic points, and also and working with the individual in a way that, you know, they need to be worked with, you know, meeting them where they are. If somebody wants something more, if somebody wants something more deep, you know, then I will teach them. Mm-hmm. But you always start at the beginning. You know, there are many different ways to breathe, but I always start at the very basics, and you have to get the basics down, which is actually what you can come back to all day long while you're doing all the stuff you do, while you're taking your kids to school, while you're emptying the dishwasher, you know, while you're folding the clothes, while you're cooking dinner, while you're at work. These are things people won't even know you're doing the things I'm talking about, because it becomes that much of a habit. But yes, there are extremes. I have been put off, and I don't do those things, and I don't teach those things because, you know, it doesn't feel good for me.
Absolutely.
And that's okay, right?
Yeah. Finding something that works for you, right? And I've often referred to any of these like health and wellness self-care practices as very much like a buffet, right? You could be mm-hmm. a buffet self-care person where you go and right. you see the buffet of options and you pick and choose what looks good and what feels good, mainly mm-hmm. what feels good, right? If you're doing something that doesn't feel good, it doesn't matter what Robin or I say, don't mm-hmm. do it. But make sure you've given it some tries, right? Like before you kind of write it off without even like walking through the door of the yoga studio, for example.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I always ask people to feel in their body, you know, what that tool felt like, and to create their own toolbox, right? Mm-hmm. So just like you said, I don't teach one thing. I might teach 18 ways to breathe, and maybe five of them feel awesome for you. So those mm-hmm. are the five that you use, right? So we're all wired a little bit differently. We all learn a little bit differently. Different things work. Sometimes I add things with hands. Sometimes I add things with mouth. We didn't go into that, but the way that our body's mapped in our brain, it's not really symmetric. So our hands take up a larger part of our brain, and our mouth and tongue take up a larger part of our brain than the rest of our body. So when we start also using our hands when we breathe, we use our mouth and our tongue when we breathe in different ways, we can feel calmer. So there's so many different ways that we can work with our bodies and our breath. But again, it has to feel good to you, right? And it's okay if it doesn't, which is mm-hmm. also really important, right? What feels good for you might not feel good for me, and that's okay.
Absolutely. And some of this, some of these ideas of like using our mouths, using our hands, these are for listeners, you know, somatic practices, body-based practices, mm-hmm. which I think we're seeing such a huge resurgence of, or I guess just reclamation of in mental health work specifically, right? Like I know myself, I'm training in some body-based therapies because for a long time, psychotherapy, mental health work was very much shoulders up, right? We were working cognitively. We were intellectualizing the brain. We were doing a lot of CBT, which I love. I do a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy, but also we forgot that we need both bottom down or bottom up approaches and top down. And the bottom up is the body, right? We need to work with the body in order to calm the mind. And so I love that. You alluded really quickly about to fitting things in, right? Because my listeners are very busy, as you and I are, obviously. And I'm the rebuttal often when I say, well, you just got to do some yoga, you just got to do some breath work, is like, when do I fit that into my schedule? And so you work with physicians and non-physicians, but physicians are typically pretty busy people. And so what are some strategies that you have seen to be successful for people integrating some of these practices in a way that's sustainable, right? Because it's fine to go on like a yoga 20-day, 30-day thing. I love those, you know, where you do a 30 days of yoga every single day and you try to do that, but that's not always sustainable for our lives, right? Or so what are some of the strategies that you can suggest for women who want to incorporate some of these practices in a gentle way into their busy schedules?
At least 15 minutes in a day. So I've asked the busiest of physicians, for example, what's the amount of time you have in any given day to learn something new, do something for yourself? I would hear 15 minutes. So being able to learn something in a short period of time is the first step, because you feel really successful and that you can really do something and learn something new. And able to implement those things throughout your day. It doesn't mean that you have to set aside 90 minutes or go away on some really long retreat. What are the things that you do out your day that you're always checking back in and regulating dysregulated nervous system, and you have the tools to do it? So if you're sitting in your waiting for your kid, you're realizing that you're late to something, you know, can you use a tool quickly while you're doing that? You know, can you do something while you're in the grocery store and you're in line and the people are taking a really long time and you're got to get your kid off the bus and you're starting to get really anxious? What can you do to calm right then and there? You know, what can you do when you're at work? And, you know, we're doctors. So if we're at work and we're an issue with a medical assistant or a patient or a patient very anxious and stressed, what can we do right then and there? How can we be with what's going on? You know, you're having a conversation with your partner, getting heated. What can you do in that time period? So my intent for you to learn tools that you can use throughout your day as things are coming up and to bring yourself back. And then, you know, if you have time to set aside for yourself, you know, if you have time to do a longer self-care, something, whatever that is, then I offer that opportunity as well. But my main intention is to teach individuals tools that they can weave into their existing day. And then it becomes like brushing your teeth, you know, it becomes like something that you wouldn't not do. Yeah.
Absolutely. I love that. And I think it's very accessible. And it's the idea sometimes is not to necessarily fix all the problems in that 5 minutes, right? I think that's where we kind of get a bit of a mindset hang up. It's like, if I didn't do 60 minutes of yoga or 30 minutes of yoga, I'm doing nothing. And so I often challenge my clients to be like, well, let's just look at what can I do to be 1% better right now in this moment. Because that 1% could be a lot better, right? For that particular moment. What's one thing I can do to make this just a little bit better right now? And sometimes I'll even do that with my kids, right? Like if we're in the car and they're having to wait, because, you know, my husband's running into a store and we're waiting and they're getting impatient. Like, you know, what's one thing we could do right now that would make this waiting time just a little bit better? And so using that kind of idea with your own self-care, what can I do that would make this situation 1% easier on myself and to help myself feel 1% more calm or 10% more calm, but starting with, you know, with smaller expectations so that you're more likely to engage in the behavior.
Yeah, 1% is awesome. I actually teach workshops for first responders, SWAT teams, firefighters, police officers, and that is actually their motto. You know, can you be 1% better tomorrow? You know, so I love that 1%, and it's very accessible. And, you know, I'd like to say also that it's just like you said, it's not that the problems and the things are going to go away. It's how you are with them that's going to get better. You know, can you be calm when there's all this stuff going on around you? And it's important not only because it makes you feel better, right? But we need to understand that chronic stress is responsible for most of the chronic diseases that we have in this country and in throughout the world, really, right? High blood pressure, diabetes, stroke, heart disease, cancer progression and growth, even our longevity, how long we live, is affected by chronic stress. And so it has twofold importance in decreasing that stress. Is one, you want to feel better, right? You just don't want to walk around feeling the way that you feel when you're stressed. And two is that you're keeping yourself healthy on the inside to prevent yourself from getting all these other diseases.
Absolutely. I love that. That's a really beautiful message to kind of leave with the fact that my audience is often, you know, health anxiety or fear about what will happen to our bodies is definitely a trigger for many women's anxiety, especially as mothers, right? We're afraid, what if we get some sort of terrible disease and, you know, we can't care for our children. And so I think that offering these beautiful, simple, accessible tools that might seem a little foreign at first, and almost seem too simple to work, right? I think what your story shares and what this episode really illustrates is that it is absolutely possible to start to incorporate these really simple, beautiful, holistic practices into your life on a regular basis, and they will make a big difference. So I really appreciate your insights, Robin. I think this has been such a valuable conversation, and I think that my audience will really take a lot away from it. So I would love for you to share with the listeners, where can they connect with you? How can they learn more about what you do online?
Yeah, I'd love to share that, you know, I have a website called stressfreemd.net. And on that website, that's the umbrella under which you'll find lots of things. My podcast, the Stress Free MD podcast, is there. I teach, again, in these 15-minute-ish snacks. I like to call them self-care snacks or stress-free snacks of information. You can check that out. I have a free stress relief strategy call that you can sign up for. And I have 3 free videos on my website. So you can learn how to do a calming breathing tool. You can learn how to relieve tension in your neck and shoulders. You can be guided in a meditation. And I have several programs. If you're in the healthcare profession, I have a CME accredited program called RX Inner Peace. I have 6 other programs that are for all healthcare professionals, and all of the public, general public. So if you want to learn about something specific like meditation or breath work or movement or combination, you can check out the self-care shop. And if private coaching is what you prefer, I'm up for that as well.
Thank you so much. That sounds like an amazing offering of resources at all different levels, which I love. I am all about making a buffet of accessible resources for people. And I know that we do have some healthcare providers, healthcare professionals, nurses, RTs, a lot of people who do listen to the podcast who would find those very, very useful, I'm sure. So, and of course, all of that information where you can access Robin's resources will be included in the show notes for this episode. Thank you so much for being here, Robin. Thank you for being a guest on Mind Over Motherhood.
Thank you so much. It's really been an honor. Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. We hope this has been valuable for you. If you have questions or comments, as always, reach out to me at Carly Crew. If you listened to this episode and found it very valuable and helpful, and you think others would love to listen as well, Robin and I would both appreciate it if you shared on your social media and tag us both on Instagram or Facebook, whatever is your preferred platform. And definitely reach out to Robin for all of your stress-free resources. Take care.
Thank you so much for listening to Mind Over Motherhood. If you love this episode, it would mean the world to me if you could take a screenshot, tag me, and share it on your socials so I know that you're listening. If you have questions or concerns about anything I discussed in this episode or have ideas for new episodes, please reach out to me. I would love to hear from you. Catch you next time.
You're listening to Mind Over Motherhood.